Good morning, I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. Good to have you with us here today for our Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It is Tuesday, September 28th, 2021. We'll continue our catechesis through 2 Samuel, now in chapter 12, where David grieves over the death of his illness of his son, but then after his death, he does something quite curious, which I think is encouraging for us as Christians, too, to think about, especially as we grieve those whom we love who have died in the Lord. All right, so we'll get to that in a minute. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We say our memory verse together. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Matthew 6, verse 25. And again, as I remarked yesterday, Jesus concludes with, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We say our psalm together. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream, and that our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So, of course, this has to do with dreaming, the kind of dreams, not bad dreams, good dreams, but necessarily the dreams of our life, you know, where you have dreams of being a successful entrepreneur, or dreams of being married with children, or whatever your dreams are, especially the ones, you know, for your future. And of course, the word here attached to it is fortunes, for your fortunes, right? This is pleading to the Lord that he restore to us what he's promised to us, all right? So what is that? Well, I think the key here is in verse 5, those who sow in tears, and then also in verse 6, he who goes out weeping. As we'll hear in the story today, who is it that sows tears? Who goes out weeping? Those mourning or weeping over death, right? And what has he promised then to restore to us? What is the water in the dry place but the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, right? He will restore life to us, and others will see it, right, and rejoice with us in it. All right. For our first reading today, now having concluded St. Paul's letter to Titus, we read the book of James. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. There ends the reading. All right, the conclusion of the reading actually ties in quite well with what you heard on Sunday about humbling yourself in the presence of a noble, right? From both Jesus and the gospel lesson from St. Luke, but also from the proverb. And it's true. The rich will be, well, humiliated, actually, is what it says here. But the lowly brother will glory in his exaltation, namely, in the resurrection on the last day. The Lord will even lift up someone like poor Lazarus into the heavenly dwellings. They're also talked about the perseverance of the Christian here in faith, right? That we, in the midst of various trials, whether it is, again, grieving or loss or other kinds of suffering or shame, the suffering that's put upon us for the sake of our confession of Christ, right? That we do it in faith. That's the key here, that we ask in faith, not doubting, right? So we talked about that on Sunday. Like, when can you bring correction to those in authority over you? Only when compelled to do so by faith, right? Namely, God's word, the wisdom of God's word has revealed that you must bring correction, right? Otherwise, you're going to be doubting, and you're going to be tossed about and unstable, as St. James says. Good. All right, and then our reading for catechesis, 2 Samuel 12, beginning in verse 16. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do us some harm." When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servant said to him, "What is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Then David comforted Bathsheba his wife and went in to her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet, so he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. There ends the reading. All right. So again, I think just like with Abraham and Isaac, which is a lovely story of death and resurrection, so we have one here with David, and really showing us as Christians how we might approach grieving. So, what did David do when the child became ill? Of course, this is the child conceived out of wedlock between David and Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. Yeah, he pleaded for God for the child. He fasted, and he lay on the ground, right? He was lying on the ground. This teaches us something about prayer, first and foremost, right? And what is prayer? It's exactly what, what David is doing, right? Think of what Jesus says in Luke 11. This is in the context of the Lord's Prayer. He says, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come with me to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him,' and he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you, seek, and you will find, knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? All right, so prayer, as Jesus is teaching there through these pictures of the persistent friend, is the persistent cry of faith to God to be merciful and to grant life, right? And before the child dies, that is our prayer, right? I mean, even with those who are grieving and, or excuse me, who are elderly, we always pray that the Lord restore, if it is possible, if it's his will, right? And that's what David does here, even though he has had the word from the Lord that the child will die. Of course, what is fasting? That's to go without food. Now, on what day did the child die? Curious. The seventh day. Why do you think the child die? Why would the child die on the seventh day of all days? Again, this is a picture, again, from creation. The seventh day is the day of rest. So now there is rest for the child, right? She rests, he or she rests with the Lord, and for David, right, who has been grieving and praying persistently. By faith, David took comfort in the perfect rest, which comes in Christ. All right. We don't know the child's name, by the way, and that's because children were named on the eighth day, the day of the resurrection. So there you go. But the servants are worried, right? Why? Yeah, David's been grieving severely even before the child died, so they think after the child died, he's going to do something even more desperate, right? Even violent. But instead, how does David react? This is really beautiful here. Verse 20. He washed and anointed. Well, he rose. That's the first point. He washed and anointed himself. He changed his clothes, and then he went to the house of the Lord to worship, right? And then also he went to his home and ate, right? So you have all of that. Washing, changing his clothes, anointed, worshiping and eating. All right. These are, should sound quite familiar, especially in that, and, you know, all combined together like that. What is this a picture of in the life of the Christian as well? Well, think about what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Or say Acts chapter 10, this is St. Peter, when he says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. But especially Galatians 3, which is quoted in the Catechism. Let's start here. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have, the language of clothing, put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, right? So these are, and there's, I could give you many more scriptures, right? These are all images of baptism in the New Testament. And of course, then point to the promise of baptism, which is the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, right? So of course, to rise from the dead, we daily rise with Christ, to be washed, obviously, with baptism, that's what it means, to be washed, anointed. We put on Christ. Christ means the anointed one. And of course, changing the clothes. We wear Christ like a garment. Upon what did David base all of his hopes for the child then? Right here in verse 22. While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? All right. So again, maybe he was thinking of Abraham with Isaac and how the Lord commanded that Abraham sacrifice his son, but maybe like with Isaac, that the Lord would be gracious and then spare the child, right? And so while the child was living, he prayed that maybe the Lord be gracious to him. There is frequently in the Old Testament, especially in the New Testament too, there is intercession by God's people or by his messengers on behalf of the people, and God changes his mind. He relents of the disaster that he proposed to bring upon the people, right? And that's what David is putting his hope in here too. Of course, it was not the Lord's will here. And so why did he eat when the child died? Well, because the time of fasting and prayer for the child had ended. But also eating is a sign of feasting, right? How could he rejoice? How could he even celebrate? That seems too strong. Well, it's right here what he says in verse 23. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me, right? Here he's confessing the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, David. All right. So actually, this is something that we do at Christian funerals, don't we? We often gather for a meal afterwards, which seems a little ironic, but it's not, because we, of course, confess the resurrection and life everlasting. And so we can, while we're grieving, we can rejoice, right? All right. And then after that, David was blessed. David and Bathsheba were blessed by God with a son. He calls his name Solomon. That's what David calls him, which means peace. But notice that the Lord sends Nathan with a new name, another name, and that is, verse 25, Jedidiah, right? What does Jedidiah mean? Do you know? Beloved of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord. Now that should sound familiar to us. Another picture of Christ here. Think of the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, Matthew 3. Right, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But think also of the mountain of transfiguration, Matthew 17. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Excuse me, listen to him. All right, so the Father, God the Father, actually identifies Jesus as the true son of David, the Jedidiah, and the new Solomon, right? The one who brings peace by calling him the beloved son, both at his baptism and his transfiguration. Which is beautiful, right? Yeah, what an account of David and actually all Christians' faith clinging to the grace of God in the confident hope of the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. Like Abraham, who prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac because of his faith in the resurrection, David trusted that the Lord would raise this child up in the resurrection if he took him from this life. David persistently appealed to the grace of God until God took the child. At that point, there was no need for sorrow and fasting, for it was time to feast in the confidence of the resurrection. We have the same confidence in the resurrection as David because we have been washed in baptism, anointed with the Holy Spirit, and clothed in our baptism for the day of the heavenly feast. Of course, I can't help but think of the confidence of faith of those who have died in the Lord here in our congregation here not that long ago. Just this weekend. All right, let's confess the ninth commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house, or get it in a way which only appears right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it. What is the 10th commandment? You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's wife, workers, or animals, or turn them against him, but urge them to stay and do their duty. We pray. Most merciful God and Father, you teach us in the 9th commandment that we should not make an idol out of the things that belong to others, but that we should help and be of service to our neighbor in keeping what belongs to him. You have called us in love to look out for and protect all the temporal gifts that belong to others. For Jesus' sake, forgive us for every form of covetous desire and envy, for insisting upon having things that you have not given us, for being preoccupied with finding ways to get more and more for ourselves, and for making plans to obtain things from others by claiming that we have a right to them and they do not. Guard the thoughts and desires of our hearts. Rescue us from every form of greed and selfishness. Teach us to love our neighbor by being of service to him and protecting what you have given him. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Pray the Collect. Lord, we implore you, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the devil and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray for deliverance against temptation and evil, for the addicted and despairing, for the tortured and oppressed, and for those struggling with sin. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We pray today in Thanksgiving with Everly, who celebrates her birthday. Pray for all the households of our church, especially Kara, Ron and Nancy, Doug, Norm and Sandy, Marlene, and Dan. Pray for those ill, receiving treatment, or recovering, especially Tristan, Marcella, Kelsey, Ron, Amanda, Dan, John, and Timothy. Janice, Sandy, Ken, Kathy, and Mike. Our homebound Bev, David, Roy, Willis, and Mickey. The missions and mercy work of the church, especially LCMS World Relief and Human Care. We intercede on behalf of all of us, actually, for a gift and increase of chastity. And we continue to pray with the family and friends of Kay Winter, who grieve her death. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, our hymn this week is Sing Praise to God, the Highest Good. And again, oh, what a lovely hymn to sing in the midst of trial, tribulation, in the midst of grief, etc. with the Father's tender hand. He leads his own, his chosen hand. To God all praise and glory. All who confess Christ holy So good to have you with us here today for our congregation of prayer. Come to you each morning at 9 a.m. as we pray together and receive comfort and encouragement from God's Word. If you didn't get the email or see the post on social, the obituary for Kay as well as the sermon, or excuse me, the service preparations are there posted. The service will be at Sushan in Plymouth at 3 p.m. on Thursday. There's visitation, I think, beginning at 1. So come and bring your condolences, but also come and bring your encouraging words of confession and prayer and to hear God's word at 3 o'clock, and also your voices so that we may sing to comfort and to thank God for all that he has had blessed Kay with. And then committal will be here on Friday, I believe, with the family at 1 o'clock. Let's see. Any other announcements? I don't think so. Today's Tuesday, so of course you can join us tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. again. And then tomorrow evening, we'll actually be celebrating St. Michael and All Angels at our 7 p.m. Wednesday service, that midweek service. So a lovely feast day to hear about God's work amongst us by way of his angels. Not that we see them or we even know who they are necessarily, but you'll have to wait for that till tomorrow. All right. So Lord be with you all. Keep you safe. Keep Kay, the family of Kay, in your prayers. I see Norm checked in here too, so good to have you, Norm. Lord be with you all, and we'll see you again soon.